I thought I'd raise with you the business model of both Wesfarmers, who incorporate Coles into their business group, and Woolworths in this battle for consumers. Now, clearly there is a battle going on and certain products have become the battleground. But
let me say this. It's not a battle for consumers. It's a battle for profits. It's all about profits. Consumers are the route through which the profits are made. So it's very important to understand. And the ACCC is only just getting onto this, because what's happened in Australia, and it's very, very unfortunate, but it's not unlike China, where the government of the day will be happy to support any policy that means lower prices for the constituents. What the government doesn't want, and I use this language deliberately, they don't want an uprising. Right? They don't want people to say, oh, life's more expensive and inflation's too high and so on and so forth. So anything that supports lower prices, even if it means that our local companies go bust, history suggests that that's the way the policy will go. So let's look at airlines, for example. Qantas wants protection, for example, you know, to be able to be profitable. No, level playing field. We're going to let everyone come in and charge whatever they want. We're going to allow competition between Sydney and LA. And as long as consumers get lower prices for their travel, they'll be happy and they'll re-elect us. When it comes to food goods at Coles and Woolies and any of either of those two major supermarkets, then the reality is that the short-term price benefits that people see will ultimately lead to long-term higher prices. And so in the short term, the government sort of turns a blind eye to it. It really doesn't really matter. But the ACCC, as I said a moment ago, is only just starting to look at this, because what they realise is going to happen is if you continue to screw the supplier and you continue to screw the branded products, then what you'll actually find is that neither of those two will exist anymore. The only product that will be on the shelf is the no-name product. And then they can raise the price to whatever they want. And they'll actually increase the margin beyond what they had when there was only branded products and the no-name brands and the generic brands didn't exist. And you can see this when you walk down the supermarket and just look at the shelves. Look at the positioning of the Coles brand and the Woolies brand product. It's at eye level. Mm-hmm. It dominates the shelf. It's easy to get and it's got the cheaper price. And what you'll find is the branded products are on the periphery. They're up higher, they're over to the left and the right, or they're right down the bottom. They know that you can't be bothered bending down, particularly if it's going to cost you more, so you may as well just reach right where your eye is and grab the cheaper product. So it's a deliberate strategy. And longer term, I think we're going to end up with three things. We're going to end up with less innovation in our products, we're going to end up with more expensive prices, and we're going to end up with less choice.
I want to pick you up on that point, because you've raised the higher prices aspect, but the problem is those higher prices that we've paid won't be to local producers.
No, that's exactly right.
It will be imported.
That's the major problem, because the reality is that you can only squeeze so much blood out of a stone, and suppliers are now hitting the wall left, right and centre. And what's the only option that you've got when you're not making much money? It is to sell. And at the same time, as you've got pressure from Coles and Woolies as a supplier, as a rural producer, you've got the government who's about to tell you, as we approach the election, the government's going to tell you that our strengths are resources and agriculture. The Libs are going to be saying the same thing. We need to play to our strengths. And what they're saying is we're not going to add any value to our exports. We have to accept a balance of payments current account deficit, meaning the value of our exports are always going to be lower than the value of our imports. Well, that doesn't have to be the case.
But if that is the case, where is the advantage to the government, or does it fall into the position you're talking about, which is short term?
It's all about short-term,
where
John,
if we talk about higher prices because we've had to import, how does that meet the any government?
Well, long-term it won't, but yeah. Nobody's focusing on long-term planning. So what the government's actually saying, let me just finish that comment about the balance of payments current account deficit. I went to a breakfast with Andrew Robb late last year, and you know, he's the shadow minister for debt reduction and finance and so forth. And I asked more questions of him amongst the 12 CEOs that were having breakfast with him than anyone. And I was really disappointed and I despaired for Australia, because what I heard was more of the same. The words that he used was, we have a structural deficit in our balance of payments. Now, what that means is just accept it.
It's inbuilt.
It's inbuilt. Our exports are not worth as much as our imports, and that's because we're importing too much. Well, and the result of that is that on the capital account, a lot of people don't understand this, but if you're spending more than you're earning on the balance on your balance sheet, then you've got to support that with money coming in. And where that's coming in is from foreign investors. So we're selling our farms. We're literally selling our farms. So a friend of mine, Russell Roberts, down in the Kiewa Valley in Mount Beauty in Victoria, he sold his farm, and you know it was sold. Fortunately, it was sold to the neighbour, but it wasn't sold to an offshore investor. But we're seeing a lot more of our assets go to offshore investors. Now, if we could add value to our exports, if we could actually take the time and have a patient strategy where we increase the value of what we exported. So instead of exporting the raw materials, we did something locally to them that increased the value to offshore buyers, then we would find we would not need to sell as much of our assets and we could actually invest offshore. We'd be the ones doing the buying offshore. But it's not going to happen.
Do you know what's interesting about the response we've had today is that so many people, and I'd say the majority of them, would be supporting local farmers by not buying the cheaper brands. And that is a business model. Now, people want to get behind that. That's what they want to do.
Yeah, they do. But a quick little fact about surveys, John.
Yeah,
no one's going to ring. No one's going to ring you up and say, oh, look, I have to buy the branded product. My name's Jeff and I live in Castle Hill. You know, people aren't going to admit to it.
We've had one or two.
Yeah, but you're going to get an overwhelming response.
I'm not saying it's a survey. I'm just saying the response. But it leads me to the point that I was going to make is that you used airlines as the example of one, and the Qantas business model as a setup. Qantas do have some form of protection. It's limited.
Yes, and it's less and less, unfortunately.
Less and less. But why don't we apply something similar to many of our other industries?
Well, we should be like the French. You know, the problem is we're apathetic.
Not tariffs necessarily, but some sort of protection.
But you know, when the French farmers get upset about something, they grab a cow, they kill it, they drag it down the Champs-Élysées, and then they burn it in front of Parliament.
I do remember the tractor blockade they had.
Yeah,
in Paris
we're not as passionate. We seem to be more apathetic, and we don't do enough about it.
And we touched on that issue earlier on. A response from Viv, one of our listeners too, who has been in the dairy industry some 70 years. He said, there is not that unity amongst farmers in this case because there's a division between the beef and the dairy farmers and very few because they run small businesses effectively.
I heard one of your people who wrote their email or the SMS said suggested that there should be some industrial action or some consumer action with milk. You know, how long have people tried to get other people to stop buying petrol for one day? You know, we can't do it. We can't get together and get coordinated to do it. But it would take something significant like that to signal to the government that we're not happy. You know, there's sort of grumbling on, but no action. You know, the government can afford to ignore that. And they will. And it's going to be more of the same after this next election. It really does worry me because we can change what we do. Think about our most valuable company listed on the stock exchange, about $100 billion and going nowhere, really. What does it do? It digs dirt. You know, and not much else. Most valuable company in the United States up until recently was Apple. And what does it do? It develops high-end products that people are willing to pay a lot for. The Apple iPhone costs about $900. You've got to sell 8 tons of iron ore to afford one iPhone. You know, and so we really have got to add value to our exports. Otherwise, we're going to be in this situation for a lot longer. We'll end up being serfs. We'll end up working for foreign owners of our land and we'll be renting it from them if we keep going down this path. It's a long-term problem.
Then let me bring you back to the point of the Wesfarmers and the Woolworths model. Mm. Now, in the last few months, in fact, maybe even less, we've seen both share prices absolutely take off for both of those companies. Mm. Woolworths was around about $22, $25 and suddenly has taken off to over $32. Mm. Wesfarmers has had very similar increase up to $34, $35 at the moment. It does suggest that both their business models are becoming very efficient and grabbing market share. It's a tick for the shareholder return, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in the case of Woolworths, what's happened is back in 2007, the share price got very, very high, well above its intrinsic value, and it's gone nowhere since then, really. And it's taken that long now for the valuation of the company to catch up. And I've demonstrated this on, you know, on various graphs, and the intrinsic value now has finally caught up, and it caught up last year, and now the share price is getting ahead again. You know, the reality is that they're making extraordinary profits. They're very stable profits, and they continue to extract more out of suppliers, and ultimately those profits will continue to go up as options for consumers disappear, and that's my big concern. But investors, you know, investors have a lot of opportunities to invest. They don't have to invest, obviously, in Coles and Woolworths. They can invest in other businesses if they're not happy with those.
So, again, it comes back to that longer-term point of view, though, because you're talking about higher prices or import it in the end. So it's not a sustainable model.
No, well, it's not sustainable at low prices. Ultimately, prices get jacked up because you can. And so if a company says, right, the brands have all gone broke, we can only get our own. You know, we've got contract manufacturers for everything that we produce. We put our own brand on it. There's no competition in terms of price. Raise the price, away you go.
All right.
And that's what they'll do.
That's what they'll do. Roger Montgomery is my guest this afternoon, and we welcome your calls if you'd like to join us. 1300 02 9994. A couple more emails have come through as well. Text messages have come through. Pete on the far south coast says, buy local, stay local. Margaret says, hi John, I always avoid the supermarket brands, especially milk. However, is buying cheap milk any different from buying cheap milk, cheap airfare? I certainly do that, and so does my dairy farmer brother. Now, there's an interesting point too.
Well, that's the point. You know, we're absolutely trying to get low prices, and we think low prices are good for us. Short term, yes. Long term, possibly not, because of the impact down the chain. And that's what we're talking about here, that in the short run, it seems like it's okay. You know, hey, I'm getting my airfare cheaper, I'm getting my milk cheaper, I'm getting my petrol cheaper. And let me say, you're not getting your petrol that much cheaper, by the way. Those 8 cent discounts don't look like 8 cent discounts to me when I drive down the street. But you know, ultimately, the longer term impact of that is less choice. And when there's less choice, you end up with monopolies and oligopolies and duopolies. And what that means is you get less competition and higher prices. So you end up paying more for the short term benefit.
Lou has also written a text saying, how do I get a transcript or a recording of what Mr. Montgomery was talking about? Well, we'll try and post this online after or by tomorrow sometime. But let's take a call from Gordon from Queensland. Afternoon, Gordon.
Hello, John.
How are you?
I've been sitting up here on the Gold Coast seething, listening to some of your poor farmers calling in. But that chap you're just interviewing is
Roger.
Talking so much sense. Roger is talking so much sense. It resonates with me. I wanted to ring up 15 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, and say exactly the same things, condensed and summarised, but he knows a heck of a lot more than I do. But listen, poor old Vic and poor old Andrew are thinking that withdrawing supplies and squeezing supplies is going to influence the market. It isn't. It's only going to put them in a weaker position. These monopolies who have the advantage of having their feet and hands and heads in different countries are not operating on a fair playing field. Like the fair competition is one thing if everybody is subject to the same parameters, but we're not. We've got to contend with things beyond our control and beyond the farmers' control. And before long, they'll be squeezed out of it. Withdrawing supply, their supply, is going to kill themselves. It'll be suicide because foreign investment will be taking over their farms and their properties, as it's already happening. Free trade is something which is very insidious and evil in a sense.
Well, free trade only free. Look, the it's interesting. All your points there are absolutely right. The natural state in capitalism, you know, the ultimate state is for a company to be a monopoly, and it's killed all the competition. It ends up in the dominant position. So if we leave capitalism alone and we let it run its course, then the bigger just get bigger and they get stronger. You're absolutely right.
That's right. I just wanted to make that point to these
farmers. Excellent point.
They will not get anywhere by withholding, thinking that they're going to be able to withhold their supplies. They haven't got the strength at all.
Yeah.
Their weakness is in the strength of legislation, which does not provide any safeguards for them. They're not on a level playing field of free competition at all. They're being held to ransom all the time. Why is it that when Coles or Woolworths want to run a special on milk, for instance, that the farmer's got to subsidise it? They split that milk into 20 different products that got nothing to do with what they bought from him.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly right.
No, Gordon, I hope you're not seething anymore. I'm really glad you rang because it's really interesting points to make.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for joining us too. That's Gordon from Queensland. If you'd like to join us, 1300 02 9994 is our phone number. If you'd like to do that, 1300 02 9994. Should also just warn you too. There's a severe thunderstorm warning for large hailstones, heavy rainfall, and damaging winds for locations that will still include Armidale, Orange, Mudgee, Bathurst, Tamworth, and Gunnedah, Moree, Narrabri, Walgett, Dubbo, Parks and Nyngan. So if you would like to join us, 1300 02 9994, you'll have to be quick because it's only 3 minutes to six and we've nearly covered all the topics.
In the United States and in Europe, John, when it comes to supermarkets, the government has set the market share that they're allowed to have and they're not allowed to exceed that. Now, I don't know, I've got to look into it, whether or not that's based on geography or whether it was based on revenue or profit. But we don't have that in Australia.
Is that part of keeping the agricultural industry alive in the US? Because they did subsidise their farmers.
It's that, and it's about choice as well. You know, it's about price protection and it's about choice. Because ultimately, as I mentioned, the natural state for the capitalist system is for one company to rise up and dominate all the others. And then when it's alone and it's a monopoly, it can charge whatever it likes and no one has any choice. So we've got to prevent that from happening. And that means the government needs to review the legislation around market share for these big providers. You know, they've come up underneath without anyone noticing.
Politically, do you see value in a government doing that? I mean,
well, no, not at the moment, because what it would mean is they'd turn around and they'd say higher prices, and everyone's saying, oh, no, we don't want higher prices. But we've got to think longer term. You know, the China plans for 200 years. We plan for three, you know, or four, you know, for the next election cycle. And that's all. And all the planning goes out the window in the last year before the election, because it's all about just promising things that you're never going to deliver anyway. So, you know, the reality is we're too short term in our thinking. And the natural state that I described of a company is the same for countries. You know, a country that can supply labour cheaper and whose constituents are willing to earn $2 a day, we haven't got a hope to compete against them. So we need something else.
Let's pick up on another one. Rob joins us. Good afternoon, Rob.
G'day, how are you going?
Well, thanks.
That's good. Mate, I work for one of the major...
yes. Companies. Supermarkets, yep.
Yep. And I've been listening to what they've been saying. I can tell you now that home brand products, like milk, outsell 3-1.
The branded ones?
Not surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, I sit back, listen to it, you know, help the farmers, help this, help that. People just buy the product that they can afford.
Yep.
Well, and also the supermarkets take the other brands off the shelf. You know, there's fewer of them, there's less choice. And, you know, in my supermarket, you know, where there were once five different types of butter, there's now two. You know, so I have much less choice about what I can buy, irrespective of the price.
That's true too. Mm. Yeah. That is true.
Good to hear from you. I didn't know it was 3-1, but you put it in perspective there, Robert. Thanks very much for that very point too.